My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So if you too are mad about Mickey, then this is the podcast for you. Or maybe you're the Disney novice, currently thinking about or planning your first ever trip to Walt Disney World, and you think that Disney Plus is the size of clothes that you'll need when you come back from Walt Disney World. Well, then this really is the podcast for you. Every week, I'll be chatting to other UK Disney superfans to share their memories of their magical times. And this week, Laura tells me about one of her favourite snacks.
For UK listeners, it's like, I don't know if you've ever had something like a Yum Yum from Greggs.
I'm also going to be answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting the latest news from the parks, and if you're heading over to Orlando over the next few weeks, all the essential information you need to know right now. Make sure you keep in touch as well. We are Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pod Magical. We are the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network. With this week's questions, hello to GemmaLouise5 on Instagram, who wants to know about getting around resorts. So, for example, if I'm staying at Autumn Animation, but I want to go to Ohana for breakfast, how do I get around? Well, there's free transport throughout Walt Disney World that you can just jump on. Most of it takes you from your hotel to the theme parks and back. So if you're going from one hotel to hotel, so it's like you say, if you're going to Ohana, which is the Polynesian, you'll need to jump on a bus to Magic Kingdom. Then you need to get on the monorail, which will take you from Magic Kingdom over to the Polynesian. Or alternatively, if you're staying somewhere like Caribbean Beach, you can just jump on the Skyliner, and then that will take you into Hollywood Studios. And then from Hollywood Studios, you're a bus ride away from anywhere. Just a cable car ride from the bus station. So there you go. There's free transport anyway that you can just jump on, jump off. Note though, and I noticed this, that during the day, I felt last time we did like a couple of breaks in the afternoon, getting back to the hotel, there's a lot less buses I found. So maybe sometimes it's quicker just to jump in an Uber. It's a little bit cheaper. Thank you very much for your question. Also on Facebook, we've got a question that's come in from Greg, who was looking forward to going back to Walt Disney World. Hasn't been since 1994, but looking to go in a couple of years. Now I've got kids. The kids will be 6 and 10 by the time we are thinking of going. Already picked up loads of top tips, but I've got a few more questions, and they are, their big question, when's the best time to go? Well, they've narrowed it down to Easter, second half of August, or October half term. Easter's nice, Easter's cool, busy. Second half of August, a little bit quieter because American schools have got back, but very, very hot and humid. October, a lot cooler, still be quite warm. And then you've got Halloween. For me, I would go October half term. That's my choice. But again, it's entirely up to you. Maybe you like the hot weather. Maybe there's a better deal that you can get in Easter. My preference is October half term out of all those that you give me. But as I say, it's entirely up to you. Also as well, if we are staying on site and we've got the 14-day package, the kids probably not going to be staying at the parks every day. Can we just come and go as we please? Yes, you can. With a park hopper, you can have a lie-in one morning and get to the park at 11, or maybe you want to get there from rope drop and go home at 12 and then come back later on at 3 or go to a different park later on in the day. With that park hopper, you can hop the parks. You can come and go as you please if you want that little nap in the afternoon, or maybe you just want to go back to the hotel pool and chill out there. They're the options for you. You can go around as you please. And also, how easy is it to get to Universal? We've got a couple of Harry Potter fans, so we would have to have a couple of days at Universal. Well, if you've got Harry Potter fans, you've got to go to Universal. Last time I went, we just Ubered it from our hotel. We stayed at the French Quarter, and we just got an Uber to Universal, which I think was about $18 to $20 each way. Although I did find, coming back from Universal, they've got the taxi pickup on the roof of the car park, and there were just loads of people just looking for Uber and Lyft, and they were coming and going, and you look, everybody's looking at the phone, and the taxis are coming and going, and sometimes they'll just drive. It was a total nightmare. If you've got any top tips of where to pick up an Uber or Lyft from Universal Studios back to Disney, please let me know, because I found the whole process a bit of a nightmare. But generally, it's just easy to get around. And if you've got Harry Potter fans, then yeah, you've got to take them to Universal. And by the time you go, you might get the new park as well that might be open as well, Universal's Third Gate. Any questions, let me know. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we are at Pod Magical. Same place to go if you want to be like Laura and come on the podcast for a bit of a chat. So let's find out, Laura, what do you love about Walt Disney World?
I think it's very much like what everybody else has said when they've been on the podcast. It's just that whole Disney bubble that I think people talk about. You know, there's no excuse to be bored when you're in Disney World. There's just so much to do. And for however long you're there, whether it's a couple of days or a couple of weeks, you just feel like you just enjoy every moment of it, and you can kind of forget anything that you've got going on in the outside world for a little bit of time.
I love that. There's no excuse to be bored. No excuse. So let's find out about more your Walt Disney World history. So how many times have you been? When was the first time you went? When was the last time you went?
So I've been three times overall. I went twice with my parents, once in way back in 1998 when it was kind of a meant to be like a once-in-a-lifetime thing, because my brother, who's 8 years older than me, it was kind of going to be a last-ditch thing for him to come away on holiday with the whole family.
Right.
And that was kind of how it worked out in the end. So we were there that year, and then 5 years later, kind of a similar situation with my mum and dad. Just me and my youngest brother went for the second time. That was 2003, and then I was there last year with a couple of friends to celebrate my 30th birthday as well.
All right, so you've had all kinds of experiences of, you know, family holidays and then holidays with friends.
That was one thing I was talking to my friends about when I was telling them I was coming on the podcast, sort of talking about how it's just two totally different experiences being like an adult in Disney World with no kids, as we were last year, compared to actually being a child there. And then I'm going back next year as well with a couple of friends who've got a child, and so it'll be a different experience again being an adult going with a child. So it's just kind of proof that even if you go 3, 4, 5 times, it all depends on who you're going with and who the group of people are, what kind of experience you're going to have.
Totally. So what's your favourite memory then of your times at Walt Disney World?
I would probably say the thing that sticks out most to me was the first time I ever met Minnie Mouse when I was 10, the first time I went. I'm about to say this and I know the listeners are going to be like absolutely horrified, but I wouldn't even say she's particularly like my favourite character.
That's fine, you're allowed that opinion, Laura, it's fine.
But what happened was she was just walking back with one of the cast members to go and have a little break and a drink of water and whatever.
Bit of cheese, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And just as she was kind of getting to the gates where they go backstage, she actually stopped just to speak to me and just to spend a bit of time with me for whatever reason, because we were just waiting there. So I managed to meet Minnie Mouse without even having to do any of the queuing or any of that stuff, and it was just something I've always remembered.
Like a private audience with Minnie Mouse.
Well, exactly.
So what's your favourite thing at Walt Disney World?
Based on like the most recent visit that I had last year, Happily Ever After was just absolutely unbelievable. It was kind of like we ended up seeing it twice on the first night we were there and then on the last night we were there. The technology that's involved now to do the projections and the amount of fireworks that they have and the way they pump the music through the park and just changes the whole atmosphere of the park is just, it's absolutely the kind of highlight of any trip for me. As far as rides are concerned, like I can't go to Disney World and not do Tower of Terror like 10 or 20 times basically. and like my favourite thing to do is to try and last year when we were there, we actually had a lift full of people who were kind of singing songs as we were going through the ride, which was weird. It just seemed to be like a bunch of people who'd all been before and done the ride loads of times, so it was just a really good atmosphere, and I've always loved the ride ever since that.
You do find that sometimes, I think, in America. You can't, if you're on a ride with a bunch of people who are proper up for it. I remember once going on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and there was just loads of people, and the entire train just started singing Hi Ho as we were going up the first hill and clapping and singing, and it just makes it a totally like different experience, doesn't it?
That's another thing just about Walt Disney World in general. I mean, you very rarely find anybody there, or I haven't found anybody there who's in a bad mood, and like it just people are up for anything really, and that's what I love about it. And especially like being such a big Disney nerd myself and kind of knowing all the songs and all the characters and stuff, you can break out into song anytime you want and somebody will sing it along with you.
Yeah, everybody's just as daft as you are. So when you go, so you've been three times, do you stay on Disney property, do you stay off property, have you got a favourite place to stay?
I've never managed to stay on property yet. The two times that I was there, the first time we stayed in a villa in Kissimmee, which is nearby, both times, and that was really good because you could kind of do the parks for a little bit of time and then come away for some chill time. We were fortunate enough to have a villa that had a pool there as well, and it was just You could have the kind of two different holidays without feeling like you were dead on your feet. But I do like have on my bucket list to go back at some point and you know, do the whole Disney experience and stay on property. That's like the ultimate dream, I think.
All right, so which hotel's on your bucket list?
We've not booked up where we're going next year. We're looking at a few. I think one of the dream ones that I've always seen is everybody talks about the Grand Floridian, yeah, just for the experience because it's got such a good view of Magic Kingdom and all that. And I've always really fancied Animal Kingdom Lodge as well, just because it looks like somewhere totally different to stay and you've got the animals round about and stuff like that. It just looks really fascinating place to stay.
Animal Kingdom Lodge is great. It's one of those hotels that even if it wasn't at Disney, it's somewhere you could just go for a holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think out of all the, well, I put them in the expensive hotels, I think Animal Kingdom Lodge always seems to come in at the slightly cheaper end of the more expensive,
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, and but I think that's what's so good about it, is that even though it's one of, maybe one of the, even though it's in the upper tier and still cheaper, it's, you get so much for the experience that you're there for. It's not just a normal hotel, so it always looks great. But having said that, I think the one that we're planning on going to next year is probably Coronado Springs, and it looks like it's kind of had a lot of work done in the last couple of years. I know they've got a new central building opening and stuff like that, and it looks like it's going to be one that's going to be one for the future for,
yeah,
people as well, I think.
It's a really big resort, that is. So just have a look, kind of do your research about how many bus stops there are. That's what I always go for. It's a moderate resort, but going, okay, how long am I going to be sitting on a bus? So how many people have we got to pick up on the way around?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about food.
I have to admit, I kind of feel as though sitting at a table eating a meal when you're in Disney World is a bit of a waste of time. Like, I'd rather be out doing something and on
no
a ride or
eat.
In a, well, exactly, in a queue or something like that. So I'm all about the snacks. Like, I basically went through the Disney food blog Instagram and was like, right, tick, I'm having that, tick, I'm having that, and just like made a plan of where each thing was. Day one, I was like, right, forget Cinderella's castle and whatever, I need to get to Fantasyland because they do Cheshire's Cat's Tale there. And when I was in Animal Kingdom, I was like, I need a Mickey pretzel and,
yeah,
all that kind of thing. So
let's talk about some of these Disney snacks then. Let's dig deeper into your favourite Disney snacks. So Magic Kingdom, you're saying the Cheshire Cat Tail, what's that?
For UK listeners, it's like I don't know if you've ever had something like a Yum Yum from Greggs. So it's like a long piece of like a long piece of pastry with like ice and sugar on it and stuff like that. But the way they design it in Walt Disney World is they have that, but it's got like pink and purple icing on it with chocolate chunks through it. And it looks like a Cheshire Cat's Tail from Alice in Wonderland, and it tastes as good as it looks, basically.
What would be on your top three snacks at Walt Disney World?
I would probably say that and the pretzel, and probably, even though it's not the... Again, the listeners are going to not like me here, but even though it's not the best waffle I've ever had, you can't go to Disney World and not have a Mickey-shaped waffle. Maybe I just didn't have the best one the day that I had it, but... You know, I'm going to have another one, so don't worry about it.
And they've got vegan ones now as well, so something for everybody.
Well, something for everybody, but I go for full fat, full sugar, full whatever.
More with Laura in just a moment. Let's get you the latest news from Walt Disney World, because there's been a lot of big announcements this week, including the date that Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is going to be opening. March the 4th, 2020, the brand new attraction over at Hollywood Studios, where you can step onto the train and into the movie screen with Mickey, Minnie and all their friends over at Hollywood Studios, where the great movie attraction ride used to be. Also, the date has been open, or the time frame has been open, sorry, for Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. Now, this is not a hotel. It's a hotel, but you'll be transformed into your own adventure, a proper 24/7 Star Wars immersive experience, and you will be able to book yourself in from 2021. Also, more details have been released for the Ratatouille adventure, which is coming to Epcot summer 2020 in the France Pavilion. There's been a lot of new images about that, but of course, if you've been to Disneyland Paris, you'll know what that ride is going to be about. Mickey Shorts Theatre at Disney's Hollywood Studios is going to be opening as well, where you can just have a bit of a sit down and watch some classic animation from Mickey Mouse and Friends. The seats in the movie theatre, by the way, are really cute. They've got Mickey Mouse seats. Over at Epcot, a lot of things new coming to Epcot, including Disney's DuckTales World Showcase Adventure. So this is part of the Play Disney Parks mobile app. So if you've got this, you can play along with different things in the parks. One of these new attractions over at Epcot, you can join Scrooge McDuck and all his friends and Huey, Louie and Dewey looking for priceless treasure around the World Showcase. Also, a lot of new things opening at Epcot on the 17th of January. The date has been set for Awesome Planet. That's in the Land Pavilion, a brand new 10-minute film talking about the world and everything around us. The Land Pavilion is where you'll find Soarin'. Beauty and the Beast sing-along will be opening at the France Pavilion. A brand new 4K projection images will be running alongside Impressions de France over at the France Pavilion. And Canada, the new Canada film is going to be starting as well on the 17th of January. That's a 360 experience. There's a lot of new images to see on that one. That date, by the way, the 17th of January, also the date for the Epcot Festival of the Arts, which also starts on that day. They've also given us some news as well about some new places to eat, including the Space 220 restaurant that's going to be opening early next year. There's been an image of that. They've shown us kind of like the lift that you step into that takes you into outer space, and you'll see the world and Florida below as you go up into outer space. That looks pretty incredible. Also at Epcot, the Regal Eagle Smokehouse, big new barbecue restaurant, is going to be opening at the American Pavilion, and this new restaurant opening as well over at Hollywood Studios in Toy Story Land. Roundup Rodeo Barbecue is coming to Hollywood Studios in 2020. Not an actual date set for that yet, but that will be just right by the entrance for Andy's Backyard. So a lot of big new announcements that have come from Walt Disney World over the last few days. And also, a bit of a showbiz exclusive. Guess who was at Hollywood Studios earlier on this week? Only Josh Gad. He, of course, is Olaf in the Frozen films. He just rocked up at Hollywood Studios a couple of days ago and took part in the Frozen sing-along. If you haven't been to that recently, by the way, it's such good fun. Don't feel like you have to sing along. It's just all the songs from the film. They briefly tell the story of the original Frozen film. You can sing along if you want. There's some amazing dads behind me. Really out of tune, but just living their best life and singing along. It's very funny as well. It's very sassy. But Josh Gad just rocked up on stage to join in with the Frozen sing-along. Imagine being at the Frozen sing-along and there comes Olaf. And also the new Starbucks has opened over at Epcot as well. The old one's been demolished. We haven't had one for a couple of months, but a new one has just opened by the side of the Canada Pavilion as you come in leaving World Showcase. Don't forget, you can keep up to date with all the news from the parks. Go to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram and find us. We are at PodMagical. Laura is with us on the podcast this week. Let's talk about things that aren't at Walt Disney World anymore. Is there anything that you used to love at the parks that has since gone? Any great memories of things that you'd love them to bring back?
Well, I would say probably what I did notice last year when I went back that I hadn't even thought about, but they used to do, I can't remember the name of it, but they used to do like a kind of nighttime parade. I think it was called the Electric Light Parade or something like that, where like all the floats would come down Main Street and they were all lit up and you could do that at night.
Yeah,
and I think they only pull that out for like special occasions like Halloween and Christmas and stuff now, but it's not, doesn't run kind of all year through. And I definitely have recollections of doing that when I was younger, but it's not something that was available now. So if they could have brought that back, it would be ideal. But I mean, there's plenty of other stuff, so there, you can't really complain, I suppose.
Yeah, but more parades at Disney World. We want more parades, especially at night time. We need more parades. So are you the planner in your group when you go, or do you take control?
My friends that I went with last year, they were kind of there to do it for the experience because they'd always heard about it, but they weren't kind of clued up on what was there. And I bit of a binger on YouTube of like any like Tim Tracker and Theme Park Worldwide and those kind of things that are going to the parks every year, so I kind of like to keep up to date.
Yeah.
So I definitely then become the planner because I know what the offers are and what the new rides are and, you know, all the wee tips and tricks that they tell you off those videos. So that's kind of my job, I think.
So what tips have you picked up since? Have you got any good tips that maybe we're not mentioned on the podcast or we have?
I think if I was going back, something we didn't do last year that I would definitely recommend, especially if you're not staying on property, is to try and take account of when the magic hours are for the people that are staying on property, because I think on a couple of days when we were there last year, it was kind of busy and we didn't really know why. It wasn't a particularly special day. There wasn't anything particularly special happening. And looking back, it was probably because we had chosen to go to a certain park on the same day that most of the guests staying on property would be there as well. So I would definitely say try and plan around that.
Yeah, so don't go when there's an early morning magic hour.
Exactly. And the other thing I would say is we kind of, you know, we would try and rush to the place where we were supposed to be for the exact time from when our fast passes started. And we didn't realise until later on that there's a little bit of a window of time. So you can actually kind of fit a few things in if you've got a little bit of distance to go to get to your next fast pass or something like that. You know, there's no need to totally rush as long as you're within that window of time.
Yeah, because you've got the hour. But then I think as well, if you're a little bit over the hour, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes maybe, I think sometimes they'll go, all right, doesn't matter, go on anyway.
Our problem was, like, if we had a fast pass for 12:30, we were there at 12:30, not realising that, like, we could go any time up to, like you say, just trying to make sure that you don't kind of run yourself into the ground just to keep up with a timetable that...
Yeah. Running all over the place.
Yeah.
Anything else you do in Orlando outside Disney?
Again, I'm probably going back like 20 years because the last time I was there, we didn't really go outside of the parks and stuff. But one thing we did do when I was a kid that is probably still there in some capacity is visit the Orlando Old Town. So it's got like some carnival rides and that kind of thing. And I think we got dressed up as kind of like Western people for like a wee photo shoot and stuff like that.
Oh,
so if that's still there, I would recommend that for definite. I think it's probably been updated in the 20 years since I'm talking about it, but it's definitely stuff there to do for if you're a little bit done with the Disney bubble. I don't know who would be listening to this.
Sometimes it's nice to escape though, isn't it? Just a little bit. Anything you don't like about Disney? Anything they're doing wrong?
The one thing I do dislike about being there though is just the amount of like walking that you have to do, the amount of trekking from here to there to everywhere. So that's like my big tip for people when they go is like make sure your footwear is sensible. It really doesn't matter what it looks like, and take your blister plasters because honestly you can, it's the one thing that I would say could potentially ruin a holiday to Florida is if you end up with blisters or cuts on your feet after a couple of days, because that's going to be a problem for the rest of the holiday. So take good care of your feet. Yeah, exactly.
So you say your next trip is next year?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, summer next year.
Have you kind of like got your eye on where you want to stay, what you want to do?
We're hopefully doing the dining plan. My friend who I'm going with, who's done the dining plan before, is kind of a lot more up to date on how that all works. So she's kind of talking me through it and things like that, and a little bit like, oh, you can share your snack credits, and you can basically sometimes, depending on what you get nearly a full meal for a snack credit and all that kind of thing. So we're trying to figure out how we're going to use it to the best advantage and kind of make the most of what we've got there as well. And I think I said before, like, we're thinking of staying at Coronado Springs. Like, it's a big resort, but it is going to be really useful just as a bit of a getaway from the parks and stuff like that as well.
Yeah, totally,
And like me and one of my friends that I'm going with, we are big Star Wars fans, so we've got Galaxy's Edge in our sights. We're just like, we need a fast pass for Smuggler's Run as soon as they start doing fast passes for it.
Yeah. Well, the whole of Galaxy's Edge will be open by then, won't it, by next year?
Rise of the Resistance is the last kind of big ride.
Can't wait to see that.
Not that I've been doing much research or anything like that, but...
See, this is why we have this podcast. It's to fill in the time in between Walt Disney World holidays. Filling in the magic in between. Lovely talking to you, Laura.
Thank you very much.
And have a magical day.
You too.
Heading over to Orlando over the next few days, next couple of weeks, you are going to be in for the best Christmas ever. I've said it before, there's no better time to go to Walt Disney World than Christmas. You've got nice weather as well, actually. Temperatures are hovering between 24 and 28. Really beautiful weather. Chilly at night, but if you can cope with that, it's mostly dry. It's a pretty good time to go. You've got Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party happening on select nights over at Magic Kingdom. Epcot Festival of the Holidays is well underway, including the Candlelight Procession. With some celebrities reading the story of the Nativity. Whoopi Goldberg, 6th and 7th this weekend. Isabella Rossellini and Cheetah Rivera are the celebrities that follow her. Warwick Davis is doing a few nights as well in a couple of weeks' time. So there's a lot going on. Don't forget we had that Christmas special a couple of weeks ago if you want to catch up with everything that's going on at Walt Disney World at Christmas. Maybe just thinking maybe about going next year. I want to know what it's like. It's brilliant. I'll just put it that way. Walt Disney World and Christmas. Can life get better? Because of Christmas, though, crowds are starting to build a little bit. This next week is going to be fairly busy, and then you get into very busy. And then from Christmas Eve up to like the first weekend of the new year, it's going to be crazy busy over at all the theme parks. But if you've got your fast passes, you plan well, you can cope. You're a professional now. You've been listening to the podcast all year. You know how to put your fast passes in your restaurant reservations and stuff like that. You're good on it. You're good on it. So it should be pretty good. Away from all the Christmas stuff at Walt Disney World, also Star Wars landed once again just a couple of days ago. The brand new Rise of the Resistance ride. This is the big ride. It's something like a good quarter of an hour time ride. The height restrictions, kids have to be over 40 inches tall, but it's a really immersive experience. I can't tell you too much about it because I've been trying to stay away from it until I go. It's a few months before I go back to experience it myself, but I've been trying to kind of like, I don't want to see any ride spoilers. I don't want to watch it on YouTube. I want to save the moment. But talking about YouTube, when the ride was officially opened, there was a live ceremony over on YouTube. You can still see that over on the Disney Parks YouTube. Andy's top tip of the week this week is leave your shopping till the end of the day. You've probably noticed as you're leaving Magic Kingdom, everybody's gushing out, but the shops are still open. Well, do you know what? Those shops still open. They'll be open like a good hour after the parks close. So what's the point of wasting your theme park day in the shops when you can extend your day by an extra hour? Do all your shopping at the end of the night. So if you buy that massive 6-foot Stitch and 8 Spirit jerseys, you don't have to carry them around on all the rides. Okay, if you're staying at Walt Disney World, you can get them sent back to your hotel resort. But, you know, just buy them at the end of the night. Save your shopping till the end of the night. That's Andy's top tip of the week this week. Don't forget, we've got regular podcasts. We come every Friday with a brand new podcast. So make sure you've liked and subscribed. And until next time, please stand clear of the doors.